This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
We have been looking forward to talking to Danny Cannell for a few days this week because I really want to break down Miami and Texas A&M, but now we got some Tua news, and Danny is probably a pretty good guy to talk to about this as well. So before we talk a little football, I remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Danny Cannell, he comes to us courtesy of our friends at BetOnline. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff game and champion lines, along with a plethora of college football playoff props. Can I ask before we talk to, we'll get back into it. Before we talk to it, can I just ask who you're picking as the winner for Canes and Texas A&M?
Yeah. I mean, I actually, before I give anything out, I do want to make sure that I secure some like nice dinner. I feel like I'm owed some good steakhouse and Boca because I was pounding the table for Miami to get into the college football playoff. Like, and that was extremely awkward. It was hard.
I would like to remind you that I was the guy on the radio saying that FSU got ripped off a couple seasons ago. I was a big believer that FSU belonged in the college football playoffs. And so you and I, we have a little detente when it comes to we side with what's right. We don't vote along party lines.
Exactly. Principle. We're men of principle is what we are.
That's
and
right.
So I did not like, although I will say this, I still think the best possible outcome would have been both Miami and Notre Dame in and get Bama out.
Like, yes. That was
the dumbest. Like, if you want the best teams, granted, I don't know why we have group of five teams in there. I know why we do, but if you're looking at just the 10 best teams, then you should have had Notre Dame and Miami, and I would have loved to have seen a rematch of that game. I think it would have been awesome.
Did you feel a little dirty, Danny? Be honest. On HQ, you know, pounding the table for UM. And not only that, I mean, I had Canes fans on my timeline saying, oh my God, Danny Cannell's finally making sense. Like, you had Canes fans happy with you. I know you don't love that.
No, I didn't. It's a very awkward, icky feeling, you know? I mean, maybe I should ask Nevin Shapiro to buy me dinner sometime. I don't know how that would work. But I do remember there were a lot of Canes fans that did back Florida State as well. There's a healthy respect between Canes and Seminoles fans. I think it's the Gator fans, which are the ones that just feel icky. They're the ones you don't want to mess with at all.
Yeah, just hold up that SEC shield. So what the line, by the way, is Canes +3 We're talking to Tua here. I don't want people to think we're not going to talk to Tua, but the line is Canes plus three. Where are you leaning?
Oh, I like the Canes to win the game outright. I really do. This is the same Miami Hurricanes team who, after five or six games, were they 6-0? Was it 6-0 the first six games?
Yes.
Through the gauntlet of Notre Dame, Florida State, Florida, USF. And I know the scores weren't as indicative of how dominant they were. Like, I watched 28-3. I was there on the sidelines in Tallahassee. And then you had some garbage time at the end, and Florida State made the score look better. I think that was the same with the Florida game. Like, they had dominated that game. I thought it was the same with the Notre Dame game. I thought there were pretty dominant games where if you would have put those games at the back end and Mario realized, hey, we need style points, I think he probably could have spotted their number on a couple. But you weren't thinking of that. You're thinking, hey, we just have to win these games. But after that stretch, I remember thinking, this is a team that looks like the best team in the country. And most college football analysts did. And yet after one game against Louisville, who was a top 25 team, and I don't think it's an awful team, in which your quarterback threw four touchdowns and you still only lost by a field goal, everybody's like, ah, just done with Miami. And I don't know why. Like, losses happen. Bad games happen. And then I get that when you lose to SMU, again, that's like not a great, but SMU had a top 10 defense. Like, they're a pretty good football team. That was driving me nuts, the way that Miami's losses were treated like they just lost to three-win teams. They lost to two really good teams, one in which their quarterback threw four interceptions, one where, you know, it comes down the wire, it's overtime, and you lose one. So I still think this team is as talented as ever. I actually like the addition of Pringle in the run game. I think he's added a dimension that could make this team pretty dangerous. Malachi using him as sort of a wildcat and a passing option. I do like their chances to go into College Station and pull off the upset. Now, the one thing that kind of is always, I think, a question mark when you have Carson Beck is like, what version are you going to get? But I think you'll get his best version. I think you will get Carson Beck's best version. He's used to playing in these atmospheres. I don't think that'll overwhelm him. And I think Texas A&M is a little bit overrated. Like, they needed a last second drive. A minute was on the clock to beat Notre Dame on the road. And what, by the way, they gave up 40 points to Notre Dame. Then they really didn't get tested. They played almost the entire bottom half of the SEC. And then they played one good opponent in Texas, and they got kind of embarrassed. So I think Texas A&M a little bit overrated, and I think Miami's a little underrated.
Danny Cannell is with us, courtesy of BetOnline. You can check out all the college football playoff odds, betonline.ag. Tua will ride the bench Sunday for the Dolphins against the Bengals. Too late, not the right decision, a decision that should have been made earlier. Like, where do you stand? Because he is a shell of who he was. He is visibly, for a guy like you played the position, I never did, but visibly, I can see it. He is a shell of who he was. So is this the right move, or do you just hold your nose, finish the season with them? Like, what's your take when you hear the news?
I think it's too late. I wish this would have been on earlier. I've got I'll have to send you a tweet at some time after the show. October 19th, I was in studio with CBS on a Sunday night. And I said, if the Dolphins don't fire Mike McDaniel, which I thought they should have, I think they should bench Tua and put in Quinn Ewers. Right? And to your point, there's a couple things that I just don't know if they're feasible with Tua. One, you can't coach a player that you're worried about him getting hit. Right? You just can't. Like, you can't always have this fear of if he takes a big hit, if he goes on a run, and even though he ducks, he's going to get knocked out of the game. I think that's impossible. The other thing is, you can't have a quarterback who's as mentally fragile as Tua is. I mean, that was very evident and I love Tua. He's such a, like, he's a great person. He's a great human being. But man, when you hear about the previous regime and the coach was too hard on him, which maybe he was, maybe Flores was hard on him and chewed him out in front of the team. But you're telling me, like, that was too much to bear and it hurt your confidence so much that you couldn't perform. So then you hire Mike McDaniel. Remember the first thing was like he was going to lift up his confidence and he had the FaceTime call on the plane. He's like, you're my guy. Well, that's great if things are going good. But then all of a sudden you have some adversity and you throw some interceptions and you can't play your way out of it. I think you nailed it when you said he's a shell of the best version of Tua. And I don't think you can be tied to a franchise quarterback that you have both injury concerns and confidence issues with.
So do you think, in terms of Tua moving on from the Dolphins, let's say he were, I mean, we don't know the contract situation. It's such a crazy one, and it's a big decision for Stephen Ross, but it almost seems like he set the table here for potentially moving on from Tua next season. Do you think there will be suitors for him? Not to be the face of a franchise, DK, but just to maybe have him as a backup, as a bridge guy. I mean, is this the end of his career?
No, I'd actually be curious if Tua, like if Tua would want to keep playing, you know, because of the injury history, and maybe it is. But I do think he'll have a suitor as a backup, you know, and that's the other thing. If you did keep Tua, has there been a definitive we're sticking with Mike McDaniel? I know there was an endorsement. Is that official or is that still up in the air?
It seemed like Ian Rappaport and some of the other insiders were of the belief Mike McDaniel will be back next season. I remember talking to Chris Perkins last week, and Chris Perkins had written in the Sun Sentinel, like, hey, for all intents and purposes, this guy is coming back. I always had this little caveat, though, unless they get embarrassed in prime time again. And it happened Monday night. They got embarrassed. And so I wonder now, because I wonder, you know, if Stephen Ross and Champ Kelly or whoever's going to be making the decisions, if they're saying, hey, let's see what he can do with a non-fragile quarterback for three games. And that will be the ultimate decision as to whether we retain him or not.
But I also think, what coach would want to come coach Tua with the issues that we talked about? So like they might be, to me, they could be clearing the path to saying, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off of everything. You already got rid of the GM. Now you've kind of moved on from your quarterback. There's one remaining piece who has been very up and down himself. I think this is the opportunity where you should start fresh. Like, and you can pair up a GM with a coach. I always think that's the best way to do things. We've seen it with the 49ers, with Lynch and Shanahan is probably the best example and the success that they've had out there. But, and then you could pair it with a quarterback too. And a quarterback from Miami, who I like a lot, Fernando Mendoza. I'm telling you, flop for Fernando was my thing. I don't know if they're going to flop hard enough.
You can't get him, right? I mean, where's he going to go?
I don't know. I mean, he's going to be the top quarterback taken.
Right.
But this is one where I think I like him a lot. He's going to get compared to Andrew Luck and Kirk Cousins because of his personality. I hate that he's been questioned because I think he's just a genuinely nice human being. I think he's authentic. And I think he's a really good quarterback. But I do think he would be, like, again, if you were going to do something drastic, we all know the importance of quarterback. If you've got one who's the best available coming out, do whatever it takes to go get him on his rookie deal and then put some talent around him and start fresh with a coach, with a GM, and try to build this thing.
But when you say do whatever it takes to go get him, because I've had people text me and people on the chat say, oh, you got to go get Mendoza. Like, what? Like, what are you putting together to get him? And is this guy the kind of guy where you go, he's worth three first round picks? Like, you got to mortgage everything for this guy. Like, we're going to do that off one season at Indiana?
He was good at Cal. I like his in tandem. Shoot, you guys had, he had Miami on the ropes, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I do think his makeup, I think you've seen enough. The upside is there, the potential. Like, he's a pretty raw prospect still, but to your question, like, you can't get raked over the coals, and that's the problem, is that team's gonna know you're desperate. But I think you try to do what it takes if you deem him the guy, you know. And like Les Snead for the Rams was F them picks, right? Like, F them picks. If you do have to give up a couple, I wouldn't give up three, but if you have to, and it depends on how far they have to move up to get in front of the Jets, then I think you would definitely explore it.
What's your philosophy for NFL teams? Because mine is, until you're talking about, hey, you need a quarterback. Like, the quarterback position is so important. Everybody knows that. It's not a hot take. Is it keep drafting them until you land on one that has that elite potential? Or do you do what some teams do, which is try to win with like a mid-tier, which is what I think the Dolphins were trying to do, right? Like, maximize Tua, even knowing his limitations. But in my opinion, DK, like, go find your guy and keep looking for him until you do, even if it means using draft capital that could be used to better your situation elsewhere. Like, I don't think it matters, because until you find the guy, you're not winning anyways.
Agreed. I would draft him, and I know, you know, the Browns are probably not a great example because they took two quarterbacks in the third and the fifth. But I mentioned Kirk Cousins earlier. Remember the RG3 draft? RG3 was taken top five, and they took Kirk Cousins in the fourth round, and Cousins actually ended up being the guy. But I would, and I don't think you have to do top 10. Like, but if you, like the Giants are a good example, they might have gotten Jackson Dart. I personally don't know if he's the answer long term, but they had to take somebody, and he was there. Like, I do think if Dante Moore comes out from Oregon, he's a quarterback I would take in the top 10. He might be an option. Then I would. But I would. Then that gets a little bit tricky, because how long is their clock? Like, do you give him 3 years?
Right.
3 years. Like, and I think you do need to find out what a quarterback's got in 3 years. And then the other, and like, then you can build around. Even if it's a first rounder, their salaries are still manageable, where you can put a good team around them on the rookie contract, and you hope to have the success. But I think you're seeing a lot of teams struggle. Teams allocate way too much a percentage of the cap to the quarterbacks still. Like, I still think it's an issue that you're seeing with a lot of teams that are paying their quarterbacks top tier as soon as they break the bank and they become, you know, a top five quarterback. It's hard to get really good talent around them. So some of these guys, even though they look really good for multiple years, all of a sudden they don't have the great talent around them, and they kind of come back to earth. That's why I think some of these quarterbacks will realize that and start taking a little bit less, but their agents just won't let them.
Danny Cannell is with us, courtesy of Bet Online. I know you were handicapping all the college football playoff stuff. Have you looked at Dolphins Bengals on Sunday now that there's been a quarterback change, and it'll be Quinn Ewers? Because my initial reaction is go bet the house on the Bengals, because the Bengals still, I think, have more pride right now than the Dolphins, although there's this weird stuff going on with Joe Burrow. But then I say to myself, okay, they have a terrible run defense, though, and you don't want to throw the ball a lot with Quinn Ewers because you want to ease him into it. So maybe if you're just running Achane and Jalen Wright and Ollie Gordon, if he's healthy, maybe the Dolphins are able to take care of the Bengals. Do you have you looked at it at all?
I haven't looked at it. I would take the Dolphins as a dog, though. I am big on Quinn Ewers. I think he was one of the steals of the draft. Now, I don't think he was a first rounder by any chance, but I thought he would be a third rounder. And from where the Dolphins got him, I thought it was great value. I remember I was at training camp and I was sitting with Joe Rose, and he was asking me about Quinn Ewers. I said, he's going to be the backup. Like, he played a lot of football. He was a five-star. He did have an oblique injury that he was dealing. He's tough as nails. Like, he's a tough dude. You talk about mentally tough. He's like, I think that's a strong suit for him. He had Arch Manning breathing down his neck and still had the, you know, took Texas to back-to-back playoff, Final Four appearances. Like, he's a winner. I don't think you have to, like, hide him. I think they're going to run an offense where they're still going to throw the football. And I think he'll execute it. I think he'll, because I do think his arm strength kind of came down to earth a little bit, but I think he's definitely got a better arm than Tua. So I think he probably at this point in the season has a pretty good enough grasp of the system where he can operate the same system Tua was, and maybe better.
Bengals are 4-point favorites, by the way.
Yeah. I like the Dolphins in the 4.5.
Dolphins money line?
I mean, man, the Bengals are a little bit of a mess too. It's been Joe Burrow's sad. I don't know what's going on
right?
with Burrow.
He's lost his joy. He's like Jimmy Butler with the Heat.
Right. Yes. So I think anything's on the table, but I love him with the points.
Danny Cannell, again, you can go to betonline.ag for updated college football playoff game and champion lines, along with a plethora of CFP props. The odds on favorite on BetOnline to win the college football national championship is Ohio State. Slight favorite over Indiana. Who's your pick?
I hate this because I was on set during Selection Sunday when they announced the teams, and within 2 minutes, our producer's like, hey, we need a bracket. And I was like, great, a lot of time to prep and go over the matchups. I picked Oregon because I don't like going chalk. I don't like going favorites. I think Oregon is a team that could get hot and do what Ohio State did last year. I totally understand why Ohio State is the favorite, because they had their worst game of the year. Julian Sand was sacked 5 times, and they missed a chip shot, which potentially they still could have beaten Indiana. So like if you were asking me to be smart, like just take the smart play, I would take Ohio State. But if you wanted a flyer and not a favorite, I would say Oregon or Georgia are the two teams that I would say that aren't there. And Indiana just lost their best pass rusher, Stephen Daly. He got hurt celebrating at the Big Ten title. It was kind of a freak injury. High-fiving, jumping up, high-fiving fans, and I think tore his ACL. So he's out. That's a big loss for them. They don't have a ton of depth. So I think Ohio State's probably the smart money, but if you want a little bit of flyer, I like Oregon or Georgia.
Danny Cannell from Bet Online. I, on behalf of Hurricanes fans, I salute you, Danny, and I don't salute many FSU Seminoles. I salute you for doing and standing up for what's right. I salute you for selecting the Hurricanes as a money line winner over Texas A&M Saturday. And I will take into consideration your thoughts on the Dolphins-Bengals game as well when I am placing.
Do you have time for a quick story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I want your salute, but there was also a staffer, okay, at the mine. He's like some guy. I don't know what he is. He's like, he's probably an assistant to the assistant quarterback coach. So at the beginning of the year, we were doing like a hot takes, like what's your boldest take for the Cover 3 podcast that I do? And I said, Miami's going to miss a bowl. And like, so I had to make the case. And I was like, what if Carson Beck can't fix his interception issues? And what if he does this? And what if the players quit like Florida State did those last year? So obviously, it doesn't unfold that way. Miami's been good. And I pretty much quickly got off that and was like, oh, they're going to be fine. But in Tallahassee, I'm there. I'm at the game. And the game goes final, and I'm walking off the field, and this little twerp, like I don't even know what word, he's like a Miami Hurricane staffer. He comes up to me and he goes, "It looks like we're gonna make a bowl game, huh?" I want to find out who it is, and I want him to apologize for trolling me minutes after we lost that game. So,
who do you think it is, Solana? Joe Zagacki or Cam Gorby?
Josie wouldn't do that to me. Josie wouldn't do that to me. He's on the football staff. Like, I want to find out who it is. And he better
We'll
thank
find
me.
Out for you. Yes. But we will not share the info with you. We'll find out for us. But we will not share the info with you. We would never give a name across enemy lines. This reminds me of Cannell when he was taking notes after game one 2 seasons ago.
I'm still taking notes. They're just in the archives.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, we always enjoy talking with Alex Dono on the program. And as I mentioned, Monday and yesterday, this is a big football week. I mean, first time ever, college football playoffs for the University of Miami. And Alex Dono hosts the Locked On Canes podcast and the postgame show on our very radio station. And Alex Dono is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. I remind you, the best place to get geared up this holiday season with Canes merch is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. So it's a big one Saturday, Dono, and you have more knowledge about the Canes and their opposing teams than any of us do. So we kind of wanted to use you as a little preview guy for what we're going to expect on Saturday, because I feel like this Canes team is situated well enough to advance in the college football playoffs, but I'm also very aware that College Station is foreboding territory at best. So I'm wondering, when you look at the game from afar on Saturday, what are the things that jump out to you?
Yeah, first thing is Miami has been trending a lot better in their recent games than Texas A&M has. You know, there's going to be 3 weeks off for both teams. So, you know, does that momentum kind of reset? But I think it's worth pointing out that over Miami's final four games of the regular season, I thought they were playing their best football. You know, the defense was consistently good all season long, but they found a different gear on their offense. You know, Carson Beck was at his most efficient over those final four games, 11 touchdown passes, 12 total touchdowns to just one interception. The completion percentage was hanging around 75 to 80% at the end of the year. And, you know, Miami comfortably won all of those games, whereas, you know, Texas A&M, you know, not taking anything away from how talented they are, Hawk, but Texas A&M was kind of sliding in a different direction. You know, they lost their final game against Texas, which was not a good showing for them, especially at the line of scrimmage against a Texas team that, like, isn't great in the trenches. And Texas A&M should have been much better in those areas in that game. And they also had, like, a really poor first half against a bad South Carolina team. They were able to, you know, score like four unanswered touchdowns in the second half to win the game, but there were some concerns there. And then also, like, with the way Marcel Reed has been trending for A&M, like, I didn't forget that, you know, midway through the season, like, he was on the Heisman shortlist. Like, if he had kept playing in November the way he was playing through October, Reed probably would have been at that ceremony with Mendoza and Diego Pavia and Jeremiah Love and company, but he kind of played his way out of that late in the year. Over the final four games that Reed faced Power 4 opponents, he threw six interceptions in those last four games against Power 4 opposition. So, again, this is the momentum thing. How much of that is going to reset, we'll find out. But Miami's been trending better lately than A&M has. You bring up College Station, Hawk, and that's the 12th man. Like, they really are going to be the 12th man in this matchup. They pack 110,000 people into that building. I don't know what sort of a code allows them to have that many people when every other stadium is like 60, 70,000. They pack 110,000 people there. And it's, you know, we catch a little break that it's a noon game, 11 a.m. local time, I guess, but it's still going to be crazy. So you gotta worry about pre-snap penalties. Miami's going to have to be very prepared, you know, to not false start every other, you know, play with how loud it's going to be. And then I think it's also super important to not fall behind early in the game, to keep it closer, to have an early lead, to take a little juice away from that crowd.
And Donald, it's funny you talk about the score, and something we've talked about leading up to the game is where, you know, early in the year, and honestly, this team is built like an NFL team. From the trenches out is like an NFL approach, and we know how Mario Cristobal thinks. He's an offensive line, defensive line type guy. But I was telling them that I don't see this game being a 24-20 game. I think this is a 42-38 type game. Do you agree with me where if UM is trying to be too conservative and keep it close, that's not a great approach to how to beat Texas A&M at home?
1,000%. I think Miami needs to stick with the identity that got them over the hump at the end of the year, right? Because things got stale. When they lost those games against Louisville and against SMU, the offense had gotten stale. And then once Gerard Pringle emerged and they started to run to the outside, and then like every week they found more stuff for Malachi Toney to do. They've got a Malicat Wildcat package. You know, he's running the ball around the perimeter. He's throwing passes. I think they need to stick with that identity of being more explosive. And then, yeah, why I agree this can be a high-scoring game is you've got explosive playmakers on both sides of the field, on both teams, Crowder, because, yeah, you know, Miami has Malachi Toney, and they've got C.J. Daniels, who came back from injury late in the year. Texas A&M has Casey Concepcion, who's their version of Malachi Toney. They line that guy up everywhere. Mario Craver's a really good receiver. You know, their quarterback, Reed, is a really good runner. Like, we're hoping Miami can bottle him up. And Miami's done well against running quarterbacks this year. But Marcel Reed, I view him as the final boss because he's better than any of the other running quarterbacks that they've faced this year, like Castellanos, Byron Brown, Kyron Drones, Kevin Jennings. I think Marcel Reed is more dangerous than all of them. So this is going to be the biggest challenge. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, two teams that are really good in the trenches, but don't assume a low-scoring game because they also have guys who can stretch the field. And Texas A&M, even more so than Miami, is one of the most explosive offenses in the country. Miami kind of found their explosiveness late in the season, but A&M's been doing it all year.
Is this a game, though, Dono, where, look, Carson Beck, he's as experienced as you could hope to have in a game like this in terms of quarterback play. He's won SEC title games. He's been a part of, I know he was the backup, of national championship games. Like, is this a game where you do lean on him? You say, hey, we went out, we paid this guy in the transfer portal a ridiculous amount of money. We got to the playoff. Now it's up to the guy we brought in to kind of take us over the hump.
Yeah, people, it's funny because people, Solana, will try to paint that narrative in whatever direction suits them. Because I've seen a lot of folks say, hey, you know, Carson Beck, he's failed in some big moments at Georgia, and the guy doesn't have the clutch gene. Like, that's one perspective. The other perspective, and just based on watching Beck this year, and he's not been perfect. Like, he had a poor game against Louisville, but overall, I thought he's had a great year at Miami. You know, I will paint the flip side in that, you know, he spent 4 years, or really 5 years with Georgia, one of those being a redshirt year, but he started, you know, 2.5 seasons at UGA. I don't think he's been specifically at College Station, but he's played in Austin, he's played in Tuscaloosa, he's played in Baton Rouge. Like, he's played in some of the toughest environments in the country. So this is not going to be anything new for Beck. And yeah, he's got all that experience to lean on. And it's a guy, again, who's completing over 70% of his passes this year. I thought he's really kind of clicked lately in Shannon Dawson's offense. And this is a game where I want to have a mature, experienced quarterback and a guy who can kind of calm the rest of the team down when you're playing at a stadium like this. So I lean to the more optimistic side that this is the guy you want to have in a game like this, because, you know, Carson Beck, again, he's played in more big games than Marcel Reed has. Reed has the benefit of being at home. I get that, but I like to have Carson Beck in a game like this.
You're the way you're speaking, it feels like you're leaning towards a Hurricanes victory on Saturday. And Crowder and Solana and I have had this conversation. If this was on a neutral site, Canes would be favored, no?
Yes, 100%. If you look at, you know, Texas A&M, they're favored by 3.5 points at home. And, you know, usually, you know, it's not always this way 100%, but you usually get about 3 points for being the home team. And that's also one of the toughest environments in the country. So you would imagine College Station might be worth 3.5, 4 points in itself.
I almost think it's worth 3.5, 4 points because it's College Station.
So we're looking at a pick'em game, basically, in the eyes of the odds makers. I mean, to be home at College Station in a playoff game favored by 3.5, it basically shows you that people view this as a toss-up.
And Dono, I know y'all are all Canes fans, so, you know, and I'm an honorary when it matters to me to be an honorary, because the Gators suck right now.
When it's convenient for you.
I love the Canes because the Gators aren't playing for anything. But no, aren't the Canes playing for something bigger than just the U? I think they're playing for ACC teams. Duke, Virginia Tech, they should be cheering for Miami, because if, knock on wood, and like I said, I'm a Canes fan, if Miami gets knocked out in the first round after all the hoopla we went through to get in the playoffs and there's no ACC team representatives, there are going to be people destroying the ACC, because they already kind of are.
It's funny you say that because you're an SEC guy, and the SEC does this weird cult thing where, like, when Alabama's playing for a national title, Gator fans are like, SEC, SEC. Like, down. ACC fans, they don't do that. Now, I will say, the ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, there's no bigger Miami fan outside of Coral Gables right now than that dude. Because, you know, this was an embarrassing year for his conference. Like, because of his awful tiebreakers, an 8-5 team won the ACC and didn't get into the playoffs. So, like, there is no bigger fan than Jim Phillips. But I can guarantee you, Crowder, there is not a single Florida State fan on the planet, probably not a single Clemson fan or Virginia Tech fan who's going to this game saying, I hope Miami wins. Believe me, they all want us to get blown out by 60. Like, that's what they want. So I think the ACC pride, it's only limited to the perimeter of their office in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's no ACC pride outside of that.
Hey, speaking of Crowder's Florida Gators love and SEC love, would you be interested in DJ Lagaway next season?
No. And even I can see Crowder's even shaking his head like, you don't want. I mean, listen, my thing on Lagway is, and Crowder knows this better than anybody. I've watched him the last couple of years. Like, he's had some really good highs, but the lows are, like, so low, way too erratic for me, Lagway, way too injury prone. It always seems like this dude has something, like he's dealing with something. And I think Miami is very well going to be a player with transfer portal quarterbacks, but I just don't think DJ Lagway fits the profile, because I think Miami needs to go after somebody who's virtually a finished product and can elevate the floor and ceiling of your quarterback room. Whereas DJ Lagway to me is someone who still requires a ton of development. And if I'm going to be developing quarterbacks, I want to develop the guys that are already in my room, not some guy you bring in from Gainesville.
And Donald, it's funny you say that, where the guy's already in your room with Cam Ward now to Carson Beck. And it's working. Honestly, like, it's not a bad structure or approach to quarterbacking. But there has to be a year where there's young quarterbacks that say, I'm not going to Miami. They're going to bring another fifth-year senior in next year. I don't want to be there just sitting underneath some guy that, like you said, a guy that's already an established starting quarterback, and I'm going to play behind him.
Yeah, it's a big dilemma, and it's something, Crowder, every time, like, if I'm on Locked On Canes and I talk about transfer quarterbacks, I am guaranteed to have a bunch of really angry comments like, why do we even recruit quarterbacks? Like, at what point are we going to stick with the guys in the room? It's like, and I get both sides of the argument, but I think what I default to here is Mario Cristobal and his staff, every year, when you've got, like, a roster that should be, it's a top 10 roster this year, should be a top 10 roster again next year. Like, I think you have to assess your situation and say, what quarterback, whether it's somebody who's in my room or from somewhere else, what quarterback gives me the best chance to compete for a national championship? Like, I think that's the way that they have to look at it, because guess what? A lot of the fans who were like, you know what? No, we should start a redshirt freshman, Luke Nickel, or a true freshman, Darion Coleman, next year, just because I want to develop the guys in the room. That same fan is probably going to be pretty pissed if you go 8-4 next year. And if you could have had, you know, Sam Leavitt or Brendan Sorsby and gone 11-1, I don't think that same fan is going to give Mario Cristobal that sort of grace. Like, I'm so happy you started the young quarterback. So I do think that there should come a time, Crowder, because I mentioned the two names. I really like what's in the quarterback room for the future. I mean, Darion Coleman is still finishing high school, but he's going to be enrolling early in January. So, like, he probably needs at least a year of development anyway. You know, Luke Nickel is a true freshman right now, so he's got 4 years of eligibility left even beyond this year, because he keeps his red shirt for this year. Like, I still think it is possible to go out and get a senior quarterback for 2026 and still be able to have the option of using one of the guys currently in the room in 2027. So this might be the last year that you can get a transfer quarterback without kind of spoiling the young talent that you have in the room.
Hey, Dono, who is the favorite in your mind to win the college football playoff? Of all the teams in the top 12, I know Georgia's been, you know, probably finished the season stronger than anybody else. Indiana, we're all in love with the Mendoza story. Who's the favorite in your mind to win the college football playoff? Maybe it's the Canes. Yeah. Why is it the Canes?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be objective, it's probably one of those first two that you said. I feel like, you know, Georgia does have the one blemish to Bama, but then they avenged that loss and looked really good. I think Georgia's playing the best football in the country right now. But I can't, like, Indiana went undefeated. I can't discount it. Like, they didn't, you know, they had to beat Ohio State to get there. I give them full credit for that. But overall, probably didn't have as tough of a schedule as Georgia. So I think it's got to be one of those two. And they do, the bracket does play out in a way that they wouldn't face each other until the championship game. Now, if Miami can spoil that party, Miami could beat Georgia in the semifinal. It could be Miami versus Indiana, which is obviously what I would root for. Like, I definitely, like, listen, I give Miami a shot, but it's, you know, they also have probably the toughest road, because for Miami to get there, they got to get through Texas A&M in College Station. Then they got to get through the defending national champs, Ohio State. Then they've got to get through, you know, probably Georgia, but either Georgia or Ole Miss. And then you get to face Indiana or Oregon or somebody in the final. So Miami's got the toughest road. But I to me, I think Georgia is probably the team that I think is the most complete.
But it's also the best.
Don't scare me.
It's the best in terms of storylines, is it not? Like, you can beat Texas A&M, who's the only team that Notre Dame lost to, perfect.
Yeah.
And Ohio State, and then Carson Beck revenge game against Georgia, yeah. And then Cristobal beating Oregon in Miami for the
Or Mendoza. If you face Mendoza in the final, he's from Cristobal's high school. So right. It's like, it's great either way.
Yeah. I ain't scared.
If Miami can get through that gauntlet, they would be the most battle-tested team in the history of the CFP, which would be a great, like, that in itself would be an amazing story to get through.
Real
that
quick
bracket.
on the way out, Dono. So this season, because they end up in the college football playoffs. Now, they don't go to the ACC championship game, so they don't win the ACC, but they go to the college football playoffs. So this season exceeded expectations. Met expectations, fell below expectations, was an unmitigated success. What was this season?
I would say it met expectations. I would still call it a success, because to me, like, I think meeting expectations is a success, because and you know, everybody had different expectations heading in. Like, I talked to Miami fans who they still think it's 2001, and if you don't go 12-0 every year, it's a failure. But like, my preseason prediction was I thought they'd go 10-2 and they'd get into the college football playoffs. So they've met that. And it's almost more fun doing it, not getting into the ACC championship game, because it just shows you how stupid the ACC is, that somehow a 7-5 team got to play for their championship and Miami didn't. So, you know, you get the extra week off not having to play in the ACC championship game. But no, it met my expectations. It is a success. And I think it's great, like, to be able to get into the CFP your fourth year with Cristobal. It validates a lot of the stuff he's been doing here, guys, in terms of the way he's been able to recruit, the way he's been able to assemble a coaching staff, because, you know, Corey Heatherman, the defense coordinator, he's a finalist for the Broyles Award now. He's transformed that defense in just one season. And, you know, they hit a lot of home runs in the transfer portal as well. Carson Beck, Jacoby Thomas, Keontae Scott, who might be back to play healthy this Saturday. So I just think it's great. You know, there's still, then, you know, I want them to win a national championship this year. Don't get me wrong. Like, it can still get even better. But I don't think you can say any argument, reasonable argument, to say that this season was not a success.
There you go. Stick that in your pocket, Crowder.
I'm with
and
you.
Keep
man.
Lagway Mr. away from Miami, Crowder.
Get Lagway, baby. We'll be right back on top.
I mean, you remember how Crowder talked poorly about Carson Beck before the season, talked poorly about Cam Ward before the season. He's got a pattern here, Dono, and it's convenience. Hurricane fan by convenience.
I see it. But listen, man, there's room on the bandwagon, Crowder. There's room.
Talk him out of Lagway, though. You got to. You have to. I love the change of good, because it makes our job easier. Please,
I just want to see Lagway do great here after failing at Florida. I just think it would be a great story.
Man, he got his left foot on his right ankle, his right foot on his left ankle. He's all ruined.
What happens, you go up there, you eat too much of that Zaxby's, you don't know if you're coming or going. Come down here, get some good food. All right, Alex Dono, make sure you watch him on Locked On Canes. We appreciate your time, Dono.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, and welcome back here as we bring in Brian Baldinger. Hey, Baldy, anything going on here in South Florida the last couple?
Well, why didn't they just have a funeral after that game on Monday?
I don't think.
Why even come back?
I don't think Baldy's got an opinion on.
No.
Like that, right?
Hey, Baldy's down here a lot, and he's aware of it. Dave Hyde, Kimbo Camper, and with me this morning talking a little bit about it. Yesterday was a wild one. The head coach spoke. And then all three quarterbacks spoke. Your take on Tua getting benched and third-string quarterback the rest of the season?
Well, I saw Quinn Ewers play this summer, Joe. I mean, I don't know if he completed a pass in the practice I watched. Maybe he's gotten a lot better. For him to, like, I don't know, what was Zach Wilson doing as a backup all year long? Like, they just skipped him. They just want to see what the rookie could do. Like, if I was a teammate right now, I know it was a horrible loss. But if I was, I don't know, a guy that's having a great season, say Jordan Brooks, and you're just going to throw this guy out there to see what he can do, I'd be pissed off, Joe. You know, like, are we still going to try and win these games, or we just want to see what this guy can do? Like, that's not really fair to guys that have balled out all year, I don't think. But I guess that's where they're at with this thing. I was a little surprised, but I didn't understand what they were doing. Joe, like, I didn't understand the no 2 minute drill, the no hurry up, anything. You know, just the way Troy Aikman was, you know, he's kind of commenting. Yeah. I was yelling at the screen going, why are they huddling up and taking 40 seconds?
I did too.
Run a play. I didn't get it, Joe.
Yeah, it was it was a hard one to figure out. But I got to tell you, Tua's been, I'm trying to be nice. He's been way below average to be real nice about it. He's been awful for a franchise quarterback.
Well, Joe, like, there's a play. Okay, so they throw a touchdown past the Waller, right? So they cut the score. They get to 9 points. They go for the two-point conversion. Did he throw that ball out of the back of the end zone with a two-point conversion?
I think he did.
Like, honestly, Joe, I was going, wait a second, Tua, you've been in this league a long time. Like, you give a guy a chance to catch it.
Yeah.
Like, don't throw it into the nickel seats there in Pittsburgh. I didn't understand that play at all.
Yeah,
well, there's been a lot of that, a lot of misunderstanding. I mean, look, it got to a point over the last month where as soon as he pulled the ball down, you know it was going to be a disaster. He was either going to get sacked, he was going to throw the ball halfway up into the stands, or he's going to throw an interception. And it just got worse and worse and worse every week.
His last rushing first down was Buffalo, the third game of the year.
By the way, sliding
is
short.
Is that right?
Sliding short of a third and two, followed by one that he did against the Saints. It was brutal. Just puts the team in. I just think Mike had had it. Mike's been his biggest fan, as you know.
Yeah.
How do we get this? I'm just you've seen this. You've seen the Giants and the Jets, and I guess we all share a lot in common, whether we want to admit it or not. Like, how do we find and get this fixed from top to bottom, that we're not talking about 25 years with no playoff wins, and now we're clearly the third best team in the AFC East? How do we fix it, in your opinion, sitting back? And
gosh, Joe, I mean, that's like a loaded question, because, you know, when you have so much money committed to the quarterback that you have that you're obviously going to move on from, like nobody's going to take on that contract. They're not going to just, you know, I mean, you're going to have to basically release him and eat the money. Now, Denver did it, Joe. Denver ate Russell Wilson's contract. It wasn't as bad as Tua's, but they ate the contract. They ended up, like, literally, they didn't sign any free agents. Like, they had five draft picks. Like, they didn't do anything the first year, but here they are, you know. But they got a great coach, right? And then they got they drafted the right quarterback, and they had, like, some really good offensive linemen that were there that they kind of built around. And then, you know, they built – now, if you think about it, like, think about, like, Denver – you know, when Miami scored 70 points against them, like, just a couple of years ago, where they were and where they're at now, the number one seed. Like, that's the blueprint. Championship-level coach, all right? You hit gold with the quarterback. You cut your losses from the quarterback you didn't like, which is what Miami's got to do, and you got to eat it. And then, you know, you put a bunch of smart people in the room together to kind of build this thing out. You get yourself Patrick Surtain and, you know, some star players. And, you know, but that'd be the formula I'd be watching right now, Joe.
Yeah. Hey, you got a good one, Thursday Night Football. Rams at Seattle Wolf, 11 boy Thursday night. Get it jacked up. Amazon's got to be jacked up. Two best teams in the NFC, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. Just because of how well built they both are in the trenches, Joe. Good offensive lines, very, very good active defensive lines with a lot of depth, you know. And then they've got, you know, the Rams probably have the MVP of the league in Matt Stafford right now with 37 touchdown passes. But, you know, they're a tight end based offense. So they dress four tight ends. They throw to all of them. They're all good. They all have a certain role. Parkinson caught two more touchdown passes last week. But Seattle's got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Nobody can cover him. In this whole league, nobody can cover that guy. So, and then they got this kid, Rashid Shaheed, in at the trade deadline, who's just got, you know, unbelievable speed. And so both teams, they have a chance to kind of go up and down the field against each other because they're so good right now.
Hey Brian, go back to team building a little closer to home here. In the AFC East, going into this season, everyone thought New England was going to be the cellar dwellers, right? But look at what they did over the offseason. They had a good draft. Man. They had a really good draft, and they drafted, you know, on the line of scrimmage. They had a really good, you know, and you knew their quarterback was going to be pretty good.
Drake May.
And then they went out and they got defensive players and free agency. And boy, they just kind of flipped it, got Vrabel, you know, a tough guy coach, and completely flipped the switch on what everyone thought that team was going to be.
Well, they did. But you also have to look at the coaches they brought in. I mean, Josh McDaniels has got about five Super Bowl rings with Brady there. So Doug Marrone has been a long time, you know, head coach and offensive line coach of this league. The line, I mean, they've got two backups playing the left guard, left tackle spot. You can't tell the difference right now. And you got a rookie in there, Jared Wilson. You got a 410-pound, right tackle. So they fixed the offensive line. They got a. I've talked to Drake May about this. Like, what they do and what the key to Vrabel is, like, he's really hard on his players. Like, you really have to be accountable. Like, there was no nonsense. Like, I remember this kid, Barmore, the nose tackle. Like, he was late to a meeting, and he didn't play the first quarter. Like, it was no argument. There was no discussion. Nobody knew about it in the media. you're just not going to play the first quarter. Like, there's just no second set of rules for other players. This is how we do it. And this is how we practice. And this is what we're, our purpose is today. Like, it's just good coaching. I mean, Shula was just, obviously, to you guys, Shula was the same way. There's no nonsense. But you also had a great deal of fun together, and you built great camaraderie from winning and being around each other. So I think he's done all. And, like, I love the way he coaches game day. Like, if a guy has a knucklehead penalty, like, he doesn't just walk off the field. Like, you're going to get the stare. You're going to get Vrabel meeting you right at the sideline to fix it, make sure nothing like that happens again. And, the results are what they are right now. It's a fantastic turnaround.
Hey, so you talk Matthew Stafford's the MVP. It's hard to argue. 37, 5 interceptions.
As you said. Josh Allen out of the conversation?
No, Josh Allen's the one I was going to get to. Josh Allen, what he's done, 25 touchdown passes with that group, and he's run for 12. I think he leads the league at quarterbacks running for over 500 yards. How about the year Josh Allen's had, even through a little interception problem there for a while?
Went through a little dip, and the team did as well. I mean, when that guy's on the field, he gives you a chance to just win, no matter what. Like, they spotted the Patriots in Foxborough, Joe, 21 points. It's 21-0 early in the second quarter, and Josh Allen went to work. And they scored touchdowns on 5 straight drives. And it wasn't all Josh, although, I mean, he threw a ball to a tight end, Joe, in the end zone. If he threw it through a car wash, the ball wouldn't have gotten wet. That thing spun so fast.
Yeah.
Like, it went right through 4 people's hands. But he's just an amazing player. We have never really seen anybody with his kind of size, arm strength, talent, and never, knock on wood, never gets hurt. Like, no matter how many guys hit him, he just gets up and goes to the next play. Like, he's just a remarkable, remarkable player. And look, if I think this whole MVP thing is, it's a conversation, but you got to play it all the way out.
Yeah.
If somehow Buffalo wins this division and wins out right here, I mean, you have to include him in the conversation.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, so the Dolphins have now played the Steelers and Ravens and had our ass kicked by both of them, to be fair. Who do you think wins that division?
Well, Pittsburgh's got a tough game. I'll be there in Detroit this weekend. They played very well the last few weeks. Aaron's done a good job of taking care of the football. They dink and dunk with the best of them. He hasn't made very many mistakes. But I think Detroit has to win if they're going to get into the playoffs. I mean, I think Pittsburgh could still lose this game and beat Baltimore week 18 and still win the division, get in the playoffs. I think you're going to get the very best of Dan Campbell and Detroit in this game. But I think ultimately Pittsburgh's going to win the division because that last game is in Pittsburgh between Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And I think, they'll win that game at home if it's for the division.
By the way, I got to tell you, and I'm not Aaron Rodgers' biggest fan sometimes when he decides he's the smartest guy in the world and the make-believe wife and stuff. Yeah. But anyway, the guy that throws a football, the way the ball comes off his hand, I saw it twice. He played it. The Jets last year, he was unbelievable in both games. And in this game, he threw it like it was about 80 degrees out in a beautiful day. I mean, he just zips it.
Yeah. No, he has all the tricks, Joe. Like, if he sees a defensive lineman isn't quite off the field in a exchange of personnel, like, he's going to get the ball snapped. You're going to get free 5 yards, free play down the field.
Yes.
If that cornerback is 10 yards off, he's going to smoke it to that wide receiver and get 6 yards. Like, he sees everything. He sees absolutely everything. And he's got eyes in the back of the head. He had this kid playing left tackle the other night, Joe. He's never played a game in his life in the NFL. He pitched a shutout. Next thing there's Matt Judon was sent packing. He couldn't beat the kid. They sent Matt, it certainly looked like it was a South Florida day the way he was throwing it.
Yeah, it was just incredible. Well, this is going to be fun, man, the way it plays out and stuff. Baldy, thank you so much for jumping in. By the way, Zach Wilson, 3-3 and out, right? I mean, at this point, if he's not playing, I know he's disappointed yesterday. He's going to be looking for a new home. I don't see the Dolphins having him back, do you?
I think the reason why they put Quinn Ewers in front of him, they saw his work ethic and what he's about. I don't think he's going to be in this league very long, Joe. I know he's the second pick in the draft, but you're not going to find very many people compliment Zach Wilson and what he does to get ready for a game.
All right. Hey, bud, thank you. Appreciate you coming on, Baldy, spending some time with us. Have a great week.
See you, Kim. Yep, take care, guys.
Brian Baldinger, also NFL insider.
Aronde Gadsden is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And before we talk football, I remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch this holiday season is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Aronde Gadsden, played receiver. My headphones fell out here. Aronde Gadsden, I can't hear anybody. Aronde Gadsden played receiver for the Dolphins for many years. This is, as Crowder mentioned at the beginning of the show, and Solana mentioned as well, Aronde, the 25th straight season now that the Dolphins will not win a playoff game because they will not even be in the playoffs. Is this what you expected? Did you expect this season would feel this way after 14 games?
I don't think I thought it would feel this way. I thought we would be in a better position, you know, at least vying for a spot, because obviously I don't think any of us expected New England to be this good. But I did think we'd have a chance. We'd be a little further up the ladder. But, if you just flip the season around, it'd probably look a little different if we won the games at the beginning and
right.
And now losing, it probably would feel a little better. Probably be the same thing, but probably feel a little better if we had won the games.
You're muted, CeCe.
Well, I wasn't now, very successful in that mute, approach.
Why would he mute himself?
You know, isn't that like coming? Isn't that like leaving the huddle and not knowing the play, OG?
I'm pretty sure he done that a few times.
Okay, well, speaking of that, I think Tua leaves the huddle and doesn't know the play, even though he said it.
Listen, how much I screamed at the TV last night, tell him, just throw it away. Just throw it away. What play was that?
I know what you're talking about, because I said the same thing. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. 18-yard sack. You bastard.
Just throw it away. I don't understand what you think is going to happen good from you going back that far. Like, I don't know. But go ahead. Sorry.
OG, can Tua, because we were talking earlier, we were joking, 22-28, 250, two touchdowns, one interception, 113 quarterback rating. If you look at the numbers, it wasn't bad. But as we all watched this game, that was embarrassing for the Tua camp. Can he be fixed? Could if you gave him an Andy Reid, if you gave him a Sean McVay, could you fix Tua as we sit here today? Because I think his body's shot. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, fix him as in, I mean, like you know, we got this, everybody got the saying, you know, and you know, it's tough to rebut, you know, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, you know what I mean? Them numbers lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, you read those numbers just now, and they thought, oh, man, they must have won the game, or it was in the game when you read right. those numbers. Wait, it wasn't even close. 113 quarterback rating, 200 yards, 22? It wasn't even close. Come on, that's a good day at the office, man. Like, sheesh, if Jay Fiedler had done that with us, we would have won a few playoff games. I don't know how you fix him because of the offense. Like, he looks like he's natural doing the plays. Like, he looks like he's a magician doing the plays. But I think, you know, when you miss that one hit a quitter in Tyreek Hill, that hurts. Like, now we really have to go. Our one hit a quitter is Etan, you know, and he's like in the backfield. So it's tough to say, you know, can he be fixed? Can he be fixed if he just gets in another offense? But, you know, like, once again, it came like the end of the third quarter. I could call the plays. I see it. I mean, I know what's about to happen. And the defense knew what's about to happen. You know, it didn't get any, like, you look at the Rams offense, that can't be stopped. Like, put me in there. Like, I'm open. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that offense we ran last night, and I guess because I've seen it, and, you know, if you look at film, you just see it. Like, it just looked like the same plays. Like, we running it again. Like, you know, Waller makes it look a little different every once in a while. You know, I'm sure the first play of the game last night, we've used that first play last four games. The tight end catch the ball out the fake little, and we hit the tight end in the flat. It happened in first series last four games. I've seen it. But fixed as in, like, the numbers you read are good numbers. I don't think you can fix that. I just think you have to find a way to build on it. But I think without Tyreek Hill in the offense with a one-hitter quitter where he can catch one of those little dig routes and turn it into a touchdown, I think we got the same offense. And, you know, doing 12 plays in a drive is maybe just not Tua's thing. You know what I mean?
OG, I thought, you know, you've been calling for a plan B for a long time, and maybe it wasn't a plan B, but McDaniel found a new plan A, which was a more physical approach to the game, and they had been winning that way. And I thought yesterday was almost like a litmus test in the cold against that team that's known as a physical team in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Could the Dolphins avoid being bullied? And they couldn't again yesterday. Is like, how do you change that? Is it just draft more physical players? Is it a different head coach? Is it a different, like, I don't know. Like, at what point do we have to say, something has to change? Because again, in these types of games, you're getting out physicaled every year.
I hate to say it, but I mean, I'm old school, I guess. Is, you know, old school for me is old school, you know, for Channing at this point, you know, is I guess Hawk too. Like, the only way you do it is draft bullies. You know what I'm saying? That's all you gotta do. You can't draft the same people. I think it's the head coach, realistically. I'm not gonna, you know, sugarcoat it. I think, you know, listen, the Patriots got a bully as a head coach. They became bullies somehow. I don't know what happened, but he brought some bullies with him. They've spent a lot of money to get some other bullies. I don't know who that 53 is. When they played the Giants, he was bullying everybody. He was passing out hats to everybody. Like, we don't have them. I've said it before. You got to get the leaders in the locker room to be those guys. And if you don't have those guys, you know, it's tough. It's tough to win because the coach can't do it all himself. But if you have those guys, you know, to create the buzzword we always say, culture, then – You're going to be all right. I just don't see that we have those guys. You can pick them on the teams that are good. If you pick them all the playoff teams, they have somebody in that locker room that's, you know, a bully, if you want to, you know, say. And whether it's on offense or on defense, they're a bully and they make it happen. I just don't know who we, you know, is, you know, the Rams look like they look, but Matthew Stafford is the bully. You know what I mean? You add a Davante Adams, then, you know, Puka Nacua becomes a bigger bully. You know, we just don't have that, you know, going on in our locker room. And it's tough to see because we are getting out physical. And who's going to, you know, like Minka, maybe, who's going to smash the helmet on the bench and everybody's going to listen, and then we're not going to get bullied. I just don't know who that person is.
Riley Patterson.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a stretch.
OG, something else that we've discussed for a couple weeks now, I would say, but the Dolphins were winning, and like they say, winning, you know, winning can make you overlook a lot of things. But they come out, they're not prepared to play, obviously. We saw the Indy game, we saw the Colts game, we saw, you know, a bunch of, they were 2-7 at one point. And then Hawk was saying he has to, you know, you had to give some love to Mike McDaniels because he writes the ship, he has the guys keep playing for him. Do you give credit to a coach that solves his own problems? Because before last night, I think that's what Mike McDaniels was doing, and I kept saying, he has a 2-7 team. Now they're 6-7. Why would I give him a bunch of damn credit for fixing a problem that he caused because he didn't have his team ready to damn play?
And now 6-8, by the way.
You know, 6-8. You know, it's tough to point the finger because, you know, we've done it with at this point, we've done it with several coaches, right? Go 0-7 and win 7 games. So I'm not sure who the credit goes to. I just think, you know, at the end of the day, you know this as well as I do, and football styles make fights. And sometimes we play teams that, you know, don't really match our style. And if you don't match the style, then you win. Like, you know, we played some teams that didn't match our style. Like, even when we played Cleveland, you would think, you know, the offense would work against Cleveland, but the defense was just too tough. You know, then you play a team, you know, like the Redskins, you know, across the water, you know, we can handle that type of defense. You know, styles make fights, and, you know, sometimes they don't match up. But now, you know, I've said this before, too, you know, the litmus test for us was we had to go to Buffalo and win. But, you know, so it's not Buffalo this time. It had been Pittsburgh. But it had to be somewhere. And Cole, I heard you yesterday saying, you know, once you do it, you're not a virgin anymore. Once you pop that cherry, we still hadn't popped the cherry. That's so true. You know what I'm saying?
We're still like, virgins. Like it's,
yeah, we're still virgins. And so until we do that, I don't know how else. Because it's going to come this time every year. It's going to come a time in December when it gets cold and you got to go somewhere cold and play. And, you know, listen, it's not just only us. It's them too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know, like, you know, you can't put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. You can run out there Saturday night or Friday night in the cold at the little high school. Like, oh, we like it in the snow. You know what I'm saying?
That didn't fool you? That didn't strike not, fear into the Steelers' hearts when they saw that?
Not one bit. Not one bit. But you got to have some dudes. You got to have dudes with you, though. You got to have the dudes with you. Listen, I was, you know, kind of nervous. You know, watching the Chargers play, I was like, man, they got to go to zero weather, -3 weather. I don't know. I saw my son come out there with no sleeve. I'm like, who is that? But obviously, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, the O-line got to him because none of the O-line had it on. And I guess he may be an extension of that. And he came out there with no sleeves. And you know, they pulled it out. They're L.A. dudes. But they had some bullies with them. You understand that? Tony Jefferson and Derwin James, they some bullies. And so Justin Herbert, a bully, you know what I mean? So you got to have those dudes when you're trying to pull off this type of deal. But I don't think the Steelers were fazed in one bit. You know, we went and watched the game out, and everybody was like, ooh, just wait. They're going to get cold. And I know it. CeCe, you know it. Like, you know, the sun wasn't even up. It just was cold. You know what I mean? And this fans, it's just different. You just have to have those people with you when you go in that environment. But it comes around every year, and we have not adapted to it, you know, in this regime at least.
Aronde Gadsden, we're out of time, but I should mention, because he mentioned the Chargers and his son, Aronde Gadsden II. OG II now holds the records for most receptions and most yards by a Chargers rookie tight end in franchise history. That's a hell of a rookie season your son is putting together out there, OG.
Yeah, man, thanks. I mean, he's worked hard, and, you know, I mean, you know, listen, he has to help that O-line out now because the O-line's not the best, and we got a quarterback with a broken hand, but for him to stay in there and keep chopping wood and get to this position, it's a proud dad moment for sure.
I'm going to help him chop some wood this offseason when he gets back home.
yeah, you should, because, listen, I'm telling you, that he's been in Monsters Row, man. He's been in Monsters Row. TJ Watt, Max Crosby, Hines Allen, Chris Jones, and Nolan Smith for Pittsburgh. For Philly, he had to block them. Those are the last five defensive ends he's had to block, like one on one at some point during the game.
That's your little kid. Going head to head with Max Crosby, your little kid.
I know, crazy. Man. Like, yo, man, get out of there. I'm screaming at the TV. Let him go. Get out of there.
Me and nephew got to let off some steam this offseason. We need to go and hang out a little bit.
Yeah, man, take him. He'll have a few dollars.
And in that case, tell him let Uncle Mark hold something.
I tell him to give you a few McRibs for backup.
There you go. That's all I need. That's currency to me. All right, we'll see you, OG. We love you.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.